When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God, I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got.
Let's go.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fita Show. Brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. John is smiling again. Yay! Happy days are here again. John Fina in the house, along with me, your host, Joe Miller. It's so good to have you for a special Buffalo Bills pregame show because the Buffalo Bills had the audacity to have a football game on the night that we go live. I think you need to call Brandon Bean and, like, Terry Pegula and tell them to knock the shit off.
You know, I have a call into the league office. As yet, they've not returned my call. Joe, great to be with you. Thank you for helping me through my technical issues. I've had issues all weekend. As you know, I haven't been feeling great.
Yes.
I've been nursing my youngest son along, too.
Yes.
My son's Bruins lost. I mean, it's been, you know, crazy. And so I'm celebrating that I'll be eating solid food instead of Lipton cup of soup. So I'm celebrating with bourbon.
So I'm going to be honest. I've got a festive apple cider bourbon cocktail going here, and it's rather large. And the alcohol just hit me, and I'm like literally like while the show intro was going, it was like ding. I was like, oh, all right, let's do this.
Yeah. Oh, Mimi wants me to root for FSU now, which I can do because I would never root for ASU. So seems pretty good. So. Yeah, I'm celebrating.
It's funny that there's, you know, there's OSU, there's ASU, there's never an FU.
There's FIU.
Where do you go to college? FU. You don't have to be mean about it. I mean, come on, I was just asking you a question.
University of Florida, but you guys.
Yeah, UF. That's UF. Yeah. That's right. Not FU. I'm sure there's an FU out there somewhere. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I've got an FU for you, buddy. Well, you're dragging me on. I was just about ready to sink into the couch and flip between Sunday Night Football and World War Z with Brad Pitt. And now I'm with you.
Well, it's better with me than with the Jets and the Raiders. And the Jets just scored a touchdown, so they're now up 12-3, soon to be 13-3. But welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fita Show. It's so good to have you, everybody that's piling into the chat on a special episode. So this is awkward for me because Sunday night at 9 o'clock is normally my time. Like, this is the overreaction Joe slap.
I thought you meant it was your bedtime.
That too. But this is
like the rockabye Joe, put you to bed, get you a nice warm milk.
Yeah, this is the overreaction Joe time. But it is good to have everybody. Please, whatever platform you are consuming this podcast, vidcast on, please like, please subscribe. So if you're on YouTube, hit that little thumbs up button. All of you right now, please do that, as well as on Twitter, the X, whatever you want to call it, and Facebook. So good to have every single one of you with us. All of you that have jumped into the chat in the comment section, it's good to have you. Also, we are Super Chat Live. So if you've got a comment or a question for Big John and you'd like to have him answer something specifically, please Super Chat us. We'd love to have it. But before we get this thing kicked off, this special episode of the John Fina Show, let's hear from our show sponsor, Ficta, Endel, and Elmer as I pick who we want to hear from. Let's hear from Bruce today.
It's time to say goodbye to the blur and hello to clear vision. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer are the first in Western New York to bring you Zeiss Smile technology. Along with our highly experienced surgeons, we promise an effortless journey to better vision. Gone are the days of fumbling for glasses or struggling with contact lenses. Embrace the freedom of superb sight, because we believe you deserve the world in HD. Visit us online at ficta.com and schedule a consultation. Ficta Endelin Elmer, we are focused on you.
Yeah, so the Jets were actually called back on a penalty, so they have not scored yet. And apparently I'm having technical issues on my side as well. Are you having trouble hearing me, or is that just YouTube that's having trouble?
No, I wish I had trouble hearing you.
You're an ass. So what we want to do before we get the show started and we start talking about the Buffalo Bills versus the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football, today was an interesting day in the NFL. And by that, just some of the results. I don't know if you got to catch the games today or if anybody did. So I'm a big red zone junkie when the Bills aren't playing, especially like the 3 to 4 o'clock, which they call the witching hour. It's just red zone channel just is, I don't know why anybody necessarily needs Sunday ticket unless you live out of town and you don't get your home team's games. But like, to be able to watch the red zone channel is freaking amazing. But there were some phenomenal finishes today. Specifically, the Browns, who were down 24-9, came back and actually beat the Ravens on a walk-off field goal, which to me is insane considering what we're going to talk about in a second, which is the collective standings inside of the AFC North. The Texans, are you listening to me right now? The Texans went into Cincinnati, the stadium where the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football in prime time could not effectively do almost anything on offense. The Texans went in and put up 30 points on the freaking Bengals.
Well, CJ Stroud is really like, whew. I mean, he's lighting it up, right?
He's definitely lighting it up. He's also the first quarterback that the Ohio State Buckeyes have put into the NFL in, like, ever.
Yeah.
There's never been a quarterback that's come out of OSU that's been good, despite all the hype between Terrell Pryor and Troy Smith and all these guys like JT Barrett and yada, yada, yada. I mean, there's a great deal of like, oh, finally, one has – and I feel this OSU piece in my bones because I lived in Columbus for 13 years. So I would constantly get in arguments with Buckeye fans that would tell me that Terrell Pryor is the next great thing going to the NFL. Troy Smith is the next great thing. And I'm like, these guys are going to bust out. Like, they're going to be awful in the NFL. And I'm like, oh, but anyways, I digress.
Nobody wants to hear that, right?
Nobody, yes. So, but anyways.
You know, to your point, you could be a great college football player and never be a pro, and that's okay, right?
Right. I mean, right.
And that's enough.
Right. And then on the flip side of that, you've got the Patriots playing the Colts, who looked like absolute dog trash. I mean, whatever the gelatinous, like stained in muck is at the bottom of like your waste management garbage can, that's what the Patriots look like today. Another football team that beat the Buffalo Bills. Like I know you told me that you didn't catch this game. Mac Jones is driving down the field, okay, for the go-ahead score with about 4 minutes left in the game. He throws an interception, throwing a pass on the 7-yard line, going into he just shorted the ball, threw it off his back foot.
You saw it.
Ridiculous. Well, that's not what's important. What's important is the Patriots get the ball back. So they've got 2 minutes left. They're on the 15-yard line, and Mac Jones gets benched. They put in Bailey Zappe.
They put in Zappe. That's by the way, is a super cool name.
That is cool
name. The best quarterback name.
But I have never in my life, two things I've never seen in my life. I've never seen a quarterback.
A unicorn.
Three things I've never seen in my life. A unicorn. Number two, I was going to say something else, but I can't say that now. But anyways, stop it, dude. The other thing that I have not seen happen last week, which was a quarterback and a wide receiver not being on the same page, miscommunicating, and the quarterback missing the read, throwing it over his head and getting called for intentional grounding with no rush. I've never seen that before. And then I've never seen a quarterback get benched on a 2-minute drive, like before the 2-minute drive to win the game. Like, can they ever go back to Mac Jones? Can you put that guy back in the game ever?
I don't know. It goes back to what we talked about way back when after the draft. If you need a quarterback and the draft class isn't great, you start getting guys because you're afraid you're going to get the sixth guy in the third round.
Right.
So you turn a third round quarterback into a first round quarterback. And now it's even worse because you got Purdy now. So everybody's like, quarterback crazy, thinking I'm going to find the diamond in the rough. And it's just, you know, I guess, what do you do? Well, yep. If you need a quarterback, what the hell do you do? You're coming into the draft and you're like, this is not a great draft class. And if you're not willing to give up, you know, the entire farm to trade up to get the one guy or one of two guys that you think are actually first rounders, then you draft a guy who's not a first rounder.
Right.
And we saw that two guys in our division, right? Zach Wilson and Mac Jones.
I just don't know where the Patriots go from here. All that to say this, the Bills lost to that football team.
Oh my God. Well, think of the teams we've lost. You know, some very, very good friend of ours had said, well, you know, I just think this team is so close to being like 3-9 or whatever the hell the math is, you know. And I look at it the other way, and I'm like, well, we lost, you know, a couple of games that we should have won. We're this close to being 8-3 or whatever the hell the math is.
100%.
And then, then the Ravens give up a huge lead, get beaten by the Browns. And for crying out loud, the Bengals lose at home to the Texans?
The Cincinnati Bengals, not only this week now firmly, but last week as well, last place in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Last place.
6-4, right?
I think they're 5, I can tell you right now. 5-4. At 5-4, they're in.
That's what I said.
Cincinnati.
You know what's really wild about this whole thing is I'm sort of looking at this like people bring their best game to play the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills play down to their opponent. One of the two.
Well, I guess I don't know, but then Cincinnati, you think, should mop the floor with Houston,
except for the fact that Houston is a talented football team. They've got a great defense.
Well, they're all talented football teams. They either maybe two.
Are they?
Well, maybe two or three. Not so talented.
Not so talented. These guys.
Hey, forget about it. They're all pros, though, Joe. They can all do things that you and I can't do.
They do things that you used to do. I mean, you've caught touchdowns in the NFL from Hall of Fame quarterbacks, my friend. So let's not diminish what you've done.
I caught a touchdown pass from a Hall of Fame quarterback. I never thought about it that way.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I don't know what that means, damn it all, but I can dig it.
Nothing wrong with that. But when you look at the situation and the games that the NFL had a great slate of games today, not necessarily the scheduling, like the scheduling was great, but the games were just good.
Sure.
There was four walk-off field goals today.
Yeah, Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, four of them. It was great. All that to basically say this, when you look at kind of how it's rounded out and what we're going to do before we talk about this Bills-Denver game, on Monday for Monday Night Football, which everybody's probably listening to this that's not live in the chat right now on Monday morning. We're going to look at the standings real quick, and then we're going to look at the rest of the Bills schedule. And I want to go off of the basis, and I'm not calling anybody out. Kevin Massari is a friend of mine. We're fellow content creators. Kevin, you probably don't know Kevin, but he is with Cover One. But Kevin basically
called me out, went after me. So when I see that guy, we're throwing down.
Well, he's not as big as you, so I'm
kidding.
Don't be that.
That's what our show does, Joe. I don't know. We've been doing this for like 3.5 years. I thought you'd catch on by now.
Nope. No catching up. But I want to go through just the standings, and then I want to go through the rest of the Bills schedule, because he is convinced, based on simulations and things that like the machines or the calculate playoff chances, that if the Bills go 6-2, they have a 99% chance of making the playoffs.
Okay, 6-2 for the rest of the season.
99.
That seems like a lot.
That seems like a really –
And if they go 5-3 –
I'm telling you right now, 6-2 is not 99%, because when you look at the Buffalo Bills, first of all, of their four losses, of the four, all four of them are in conference losses.
Yeah.
So they're losing every tiebreaker. They've got two AFC East division losses. So the Buffalo Bills right now are sitting in second place at 5-4. The Jets are playing right now and they're winning, right? So if they win tonight, they'll be 5-4. The Bills, if they lose tomorrow, all bets are off. And then but still 6-2. So 6-2 is the number that we're shooting for, right? So the Bills will be 5-5, firmly in third place in the AFC East. Now the Patriots are a non-factor. What I want to remind everybody is seven teams, if you can see my hands, seven teams go to the playoffs. Four of them are the division winners. Automatic. Doesn't matter what their record is. They could be 3-14. If they're in the lead of their division, they're going to the playoffs. four teams automatically off the top. Right now, that's the Dolphins. Three other teams are vying, or all the other teams are vying for three spots. So you've got the Jets, who are not exactly a threat, but they're in play, right? They're in play in this conversation.
Well, they're in play because we put them in play all the time.
We put them in play because they beat us, right? So, right. And it is what it is. The Chiefs are absolutely winning their division. I'm not overly concerned about anybody from the AFC West, 4-5, 4-5, 3-5, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos.
Right.
Even though the Broncos are kind of sort of catching steam. It is what it is. The yep. AFC North is a freaking problem.
Oh,
the AFC North is a mother trucking problem. And for those of you that don't understand the way that this works out, every team from the AFC North can make the playoffs. It's not the division leader and then one or two from this division and one from that one. If all four of them,
I think everybody knows, Joe. And if they don't, they know it now. Thanks to Joe Miller.
6-3 for the Steelers, 6-3 for the Browns, 5-4 for the Bengals. You've got to expect the Bengals are going to probably better that record. The Browns, right, just beat the Bengals, and the Steelers are maybe not going to get a wild card, but they're like the one that you can't really count on. And then you've got the AFC South, the Jaguars, they won five straight, but they look awful. And then the Texans are 5-4, who look amazing. And then the Colts are 5-5. This whole thing is a freaking mess. I don't know how 6-2 equates into 99%.
Well, I think, if Massari's running this through some high-tech,
which he is,
percentage generator, blah, 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 he's got to be running it through for the AFC. What is that? The AFC North Central? What the hell is that? The Norris division?
The North.
Is it the Campbell North division?
No, it's North. AFC North. What?
So the Campbell division, right, you have to take all of those probabilities and run them by their remaining schedules too. So if you say the Bills go 6-2, they got a 99% chance of going, that can only be computed in relationship to those other contenders, most notably the three in the Campbell division.
Right. What the hell is the Campbell division? What are you talking about?
Dude, don't you remember hockey when they used to have cool names for the divisions? Oh,
okay.
Mario, okay. Yes. Jerry-O, yeah. Please chime in here and shame.
It's not Jerry-O. This
Joe Miller.
This is the moment where John Fina is making the world realize that he really is from Rochester, New York.
And I'm old as hell, if I can remember the Norris and the Campbell.
Yes.
Holy cow, Jerry-O.
As much as Fina is trying to make everybody think that he's from Arizona, he's not. He's from Western New York. The dude is, and he played football in Western.
I've been to Nick Tahoe so many times.
Nobody in Rochester talks that way, boss. Nobody.
Oh, no, my cousin does. He's Italian.
Anyways, the Buffalo accent is the one that gets me. Buffalo. Anyways, so that's the setup, right? That all the divisions are relatively stacked. There's a lot of teams. I think there's six teams vying for those three last spots if you don't make one of the four division winners. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to do a little exercise, you and me, and I warned you. I'm going to give it to you. We're going to pick the rest of the Bills games, right, starting with tomorrow, Denver, and we need to get to 6-2.
Right.
To make 99%, which I don't think is real because the Bills lose all the tiebreakers right now, but 6-2.
Yeah, but
and we're
but
in.
Somebody put it into the machine and did the mathematics, man. Are you a math denier?
I'm a math denier.
Are you an anti-mather?
I'm an anti-mather.
I'm so ashamed that I know you right now.
I am absolutely 100% anti-mather. Oh, this is gold television right now. I don't know what you guys are watching. This is way better than that Jets Raiders game that's 9-3 with the Jets.
Well, World War Z is on too. So,
so the Buffalo Bills are playing. I'm still dealing with this cough, and I'm flying to freaking Atlanta at 6:00 in the morning tomorrow. The Buffalo Bills are playing the Broncos on Monday Night Football tomorrow night, or today if you're listening to this on Monday morning. We're going to preview this game a little bit, so let's come back to this one. So, right. So we'll leave this one out there as kind of a, you know, we'll call it in a second. Next week at 4:25, very odd game start for an East Coast game. 4:25, the Jets are coming to Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills play the Jets. Now, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be ready for the Jets this time. I've got that. I would expect that to be a W. So I need to get a pen. So, yes. So where are you at on the Bills Jets?
Oh, it's a redemption game. Yeah, I call that a W.
I have a feeling we're going to be pretty close. So one to one. So we both got a W there for the Jets game.
Right.
And then the Buffalo Bills, also a 4:25 game start.
Dude, did you just exhale like we already won the game?
No, I just exhaled because I looked at the next game in dread.
Yeah.
So the next game is the Buffalo Bills, 4:25, going to Philly.
Yep.
Which the Philadelphia Eagles are not an unbeatable team. They just do a very good job of taking advantage of your mistakes, and they're efficient. They're everything.
It's not like the Buffalo Bills make mistakes, so I'm calling that one a W.
They're amazingly efficient on offense, which the Buffalo Bills offense is not. So This game scares the hell out of me. However, we established early, as much as you said, that people bring their A game to the Bills. I believe the Bills play to the level of their opponent. I think the Bills will be ready for this football game. However, I'm going to count this one as an L. I've got the Bills losing to the Eagles next week.
Okay.
Or in 2 weeks, rather. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're driving at is I got to pick two losses. So
you don't got to pick two losses. I just want you to pick honestly.
Oh. Whoa.
I know you're drinking alcohol. That's a problem.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I call that as a W.
You got okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yep. That's very good. Next week after that, the Buffalo Bills travel again to Kansas City for another 4:25 game. You've got that as an L. I think the
Bills. Well, I don't know which way is L. Is this the L?
That is an L. Yes.
Okay.
I've got the Bills winning that football game. The Bills have shown that they can win in Kansas City. So I've got the Bills at 2-1. You've got the Bills at 2-1. Mm-hmm. The next week, the Dallas Cowboys find their way into Ralph Wilson Stadium, Rich Stadium, Highmark Stadium, whatever you want to call it, New Era, for another 4:25 game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4:25 games in a row. The Dallas Cowboys come to Buffalo December 17th, a dome team from Texas in Buffalo.
Yeah, I like the 4:25. I don't know why you're so upset about that. I mean, I never liked the 1 o'clock kickoff. I never liked the 7 o'clock kickoff. Right in the middle was good for me. So really? Honestly, I take Buffalo against the Cowboys in Rich Stadium. Thank you.
I've also got the Bills beating the Cowboys in that football game. So We're both at 3-1. We've got three games to go, and then the Denver Broncos game, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. Then the Buffaloes travel all the way out west for a December 23rd, the day before New Year's Eve, which I think is a Friday night. Is that right? Is December 23rd a Friday night? Isn't Christmas on Sunday this year?
Well, I'm looking at the schedule right here. It's the 23rd Saturday, so it's the day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Christmas is a Monday. For some reason, I thought Christmas was on Sunday this year. The Buffalo Bills travel to L.A. The Los Angeles Chargers lost today in a nobody's going to play defense shootout against the Detroit Lions. Now, I'm not trying to take anything against the Lions because Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, is doing wonderfully magical things. If you get a chance to go back and watch any football game from this weekend, John, watch that one.
Well, I'm a huge fan of what Detroit's got going on, but they also have probably top three offensive line in the entire league.
They've got a good offensive line, for sure. Yeah. And they've got good talent around Jared Goff, who's...
Oh, Amon St. Brown. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yes. So, but the Chargers lost walk-off field goal to Detroit at home. I think the Buffalo Bills go into LA and I think they beat the Chargers. So I've got the Bills at 4-1 in that football game or in so far in the season.
Yeah, that's a tough call. The travel is pretty rough. So that puts Saturday 5 o'clock. That's 8 o'clock Buffalo time. Ooh, that's like, you know, playing 11. A Sunday night game with
the, it's 11. It's 11 p.m. our time, is it? No, 8 o'clock Eastern.
It's 5
o'clock West Pacific, 8
it's
o'clock.
5 p.m. Pacific, right?
Yes.
Okay, I think.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I got to pick another loss. I don't want it to be Miami. That's going to be a tougher game than everybody thinks. Mm. I think we edge that one out.
So you get a W.
Yeah, we get the W.
So we're tracking together.
And I'm hoping that I'm at that game.
Oh. Well, if you're going to that game, I would love to go to that game with you.
It's going to be a hard sell around the old 6128. You know what I mean?
No. What is 6128? Do you have a four-digit area code? You're 6'1", 2'8". I'm 6'1", 5'3".
Look, like you know, if you say stuff like that, Mimi is just going to crush us on the bromance thing. So just pump it, pump it, pump it.
Pump it? You said hump it?
Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. The next game, December 31st, New Year's Eve, where all of our eyes will be fixed. Not really, because it's our last 1 p.m. game of the season. The Buffalo Bills welcome the New England Patriots into Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, New Era Field, Highmark Stadium. If the Bills don't throttle the Patriots in this football game, I don't even know what to think.
I think the most important thing is Jerry and I should coordinate what we're going to make for New Year's dinner. So I'm leaning toward beef bourguignon. But I'll definitely smoke at least two ducks for that. It always goes over really well. And the Bills beat the New England Patriots.
Okay, so we're both on the same train.
I mean, they are awful. And look, if we get to this point where you and I are right and they lose to the Patriots, I mean.
Oh, if they lose any of the games that we're talking about them winning, the 99%.
Yeah, I think the only one we differed on is I had them losing in Kansas City and winning in Philly.
Yes, those are the two. However, we need to back up. Your daughter, Mimi Fina, who is obviously your daughter, and she's
never met her, a
favorite of mine. Is there literally a undercurrent of a conversation that I'm not privy to about a bromance between the two of us? That is
no. You're privy to it. It's just funny. I just like to say that we interact reasonably well.
It's true.
Although
what?
I didn't want to say it, but
are you breaking up with me?
Is something breaking us into Joe Jackson. It was just on the radio.
Oh, Joe Jackson. There's a lot of people listening, watching to this show right now that have no idea who Joe Jackson is. So.
Which is a shame. He's terrific.
Was terrific as an artist. He's still alive.
Is he dead?
I don't think he's dead. He was terrific as an artist, but yeah.
I know David Bowie's gone.
I don't think he ever had a comeback. Most of those guys in the 80s, early 80s had a comeback.
All right, drop the bomb. I know you're dropping the bomb.
No. We're off to the Bills. So January 7th, to be determined on the time, which is probably going to end up being, it's probably going to be for all the marbles, right? The Bills in Miami, which I would love to go to that football game because it's freaking in Florida. January 7th in the tropics.
Soft like cotton, Joe. Soft like cotton. You can't handle the winners, huh?
So I got the Buffalo Bills beating the Dolphins because the Buffalo Bills, I've tried to bring this up with you in the past as a former Buffalo Bill, as a former player on a team that was incredibly dominant in the NFL. Yeah. But there was always a team or two that had the Bills number even back then. Those two teams were the Chiefs and the Steelers for some reason. And the Cowboys, obviously. But the Chiefs and the Steelers always had the Bills' number.
I did pretty well against the Chiefs, and I take offense to your statement.
Well, when you got there, playoff game with Joe Montana, yada, yada, yada. Thurman Thomas had a day.
Yada, yada, yada.
Bruce Smith knocked out Joe Montana. But anyways,
I got a story for you on that after hours. You got to ask me about me and Joe Montana in Lower Manhattan.
All right. Deal. But my point is this, what is it about matchups? What is it about certain teams matching up with other teams where they just seem to have the Bengals have the Bills number. The Bills have the Dolphins number. It just, the Jets kind of have the Bills number. It just kind of is what it is.
It's weird, right?
It is weird.
But I disagree with you. I think the Bills drop this game. I don't think they win. I think they lose to Miami. And I know everybody's like freaking out on me. I just don't.
People are unfollowing you on Twitter as we speak.
Well, hopefully it's all the porn bots. Because I've had. Get rid of them. No, I honestly really feel like there's an ascension there. There's this feeling they're going to have a retribution kind of game. I think we go 6-2, but I'm iffy on that one. And I'm calling it an L, and you're calling it what?
I've got a W. There's something about the Buffalo Bills.
So you go 7-1 for the rest. I went 6-2.
No, I'm 6-1. You're 6-2, and we have one game left.
Which game did I miss?
We have not done the Broncos game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which we're going to finish this episode. And we've got our first super chat of the evening. Carl Tomlin, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We appreciate you. Joe Jackson's Look Sharp album is awesome. If the Bills and the Dolphins are both 10-6 going into week 18 in Miami, who wins the AFC East? Can we win twice? So Joe Miller says that the Buffalo Bills win the East. John Fina says, bum, bum, ba-dum.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling it. But Carl, dude,
what
Joe Jackson?
What the hell? My sister also is calling that a loss. I'm gonna like block her from the show, so she's no longer allowed.
You know what, Jamie? No Christmas present for you.
No soup and no Christmas.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking coal in the stocking, bro.
Tracy Fichter has it as a lot. What is wrong with you people?
Look, you told me to be honest. Now, look,
I did.
Hope to be wrong, right? I hope to be wrong, but so, you said be honest.
So NYFA, getting back to Joe Jackson, says the father of the Jacksons is dead and I've never heard his music. That is not the Joe Jackson we're talking about. Remind me of the big hit that he had on MTV, because it's like, it's escaping my brain right now. But what's the big?
Joe Jackson, the pianist that we're talking about?
Yes, yes.
He had I'm the Man. He had Always Breaking Us in Two. Those are the two.
What was the big hit on MTV though? I'm gonna Google it.
I don't know, man. My parents wouldn't let me have MTV. They thought it would warp my mind worse than you and bourbon combined.
Joe Jackson MTV hit was Steppin' Out, right?
Steppin' Out. Yeah. Yep. That's also off that same record. Three terrific songs off that record.
Yes, very much so. So let's do this. So
Mimi Fina, maybe you can give it a listen.
So I'm about to get us really in trouble.
Hmm.
You hear it? Stepping out. Yep, right.
Into the night. Yeah.
And I don't know how to get rid of this thing now.
Love it. It's a great tune.
It was a great tune. So that's the Joe Jackson that we were talking about, which all that is doing is confirming that John Fina and I are old.
And musically connected.
And musically connected, yes. We do share the musical vibe. So I've got the Buffalo Bills at 7-1. You've got them at 5-2 going. And now we've got to do the backwards roundabout, if you will, getting back to the Buffalo Bills versus the Denver Broncos, which is effectively, for me, I'm going to be honest with you, 7-1 sounds like 99%. 7-1 to me sounds like if we beat the Dolphins last game of the season, we win the East. I'm worried about you at 6-2 making the playoffs.
Okay. I don't have to play.
Fair. Although
I've been there. I've done that. All I got to say is you're asking me for a 7-1 run this late with what's been going on. I can't even fake it. You're trying to be honest. Bull loney. I'm the one who's being honest. I think we're lucky if we go 5-3. I just can't figure out what the third loss is. But
you predicted the Broncos? Oh my gosh. You predicted 6 wins. Oh, you predicted 5 wins so far, and you're telling me that you think they're going to lose 3 games. Now, listen.
They beat the Broncos. I'm saying 6-2, but my gut tells me 5-3.
The issue
you're like, this, Pollyanna, 7-1. We got this. We don't have
I look good in
safety and linebacker. And
I look good in braids.
We can't figure out a running game. I don't know what you're thinking.
There's one. I'm going to be. So this is my slot. It's 9
p.m. I was the Pollyanna guy.
It's 9 p.m. on Sunday night. First of all, second of all, I look good in braids. Third of all, I'm going to say this.
Did you say you look good in braids?
Pollyanna.
Like cornrows?
Well, I've had long hair. I had a mullet, which
so did you.
And you had your shirt off and you were in the desert. And we
not that through. Picture. The one from college, Jack Wagon.
Oh, that was like alternative, like. Alternative hair. All of your hair was long. Like you
did. It was. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to say this. This is what I'm going to say. I am going off of the expectation that the Bills are going to figure some way out to turn this around, get this thing going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Pollyanna, I was sitting on the couch today, Pollyanna, I was sitting on the couch today trying to figure out how to craft a freaking tweet, of which it's impossible to craft. I was more excited about football games weekly during the drought era when the Bills were absolute shit. Like, they were a bad football team, hoping that this was the week we were going to figure shit out. It's like, no, there's expectation. And I believe in Tyrod Taylor. I believe in Kyle Orton. I believe in Trent Edwards. I believe in whoever's on this football team. This is the week we're going to figure it out. Meanwhile, I now have a football team that is a legitimate Super Bowl contender every single week. And I'm now at the point with what I've seen this year, where I have no desire to watch the football game next, like tomorrow night, because I'm afraid of what I'm going to see. It's a very weird space to be in.
Read Mimi Fina's last comment, and that summarizes it.
Mimi Fina says, it's stressful when we have expectations.
Right.
But it's so different. And Mimi wasn't around, although there was a picture of you and I believe Mimi on a practice field, like training camp. You've got a picture of her. I think it's your cover picture, right, of you and Mimi together. I've showed it to Beth. She loves it. When the Buffalo Bills were playing in the 90s, I'm mother trucking expected you guys to win every week. There was never a doubt. It's like, oh, they're going to go out there and throttle people. Unless it's the Chiefs and the Steelers. Otherwise, they're going to go out there and throttle people.
That's early 90s. Because when I got there, I don't think I ever lost to the Chiefs.
It was early. You did lose to the Steelers, though. It was early 90s, yes.
We did. That was like, that was Jim Kelly's kryptonite. The schedule would come out. We're like, oh, I got to go to Pittsburgh. That's going to be an L.
Jim Kelly's favorite football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't disagree that, like, but it's not about expectations as much as it is. So Spence and I have made the joke on our show, the Humpty Hotline, several times that this isn't our fault. Josh Allen did this. He set the bar where he set it. And the fact that the offense isn't meeting that bar isn't our fault as fans. It's not our fault that we're disappointed in what we're watching. You're laughing, which is fine. But every single game when the Buffalo Bills do absolutely dog shit for three quarters on offense, and then we as fans come out and complain about it on Twitter, I don't know how that's our fault. Because we watched Josh Allen own this league for the better part of 2 years.
I don't even know what to say to that, Joe. I mean, you know, wildest dreams land turns into
what the hell is happening?
I got an ulcer, dreams land, and now you're blaming Josh Allen because your expectations are through the roof.
It's not Josh Allen's fault.
Doing what you want, we got decimated by injuries, and
it's not Josh Allen's fault.
Our offensive coordinator needs to go back to like nursery school, or that's he's true. Graduating from Harvard.
What's the best part about that last statement, John? Is listening to you. And I love Jerry Ostrowski, and I love you. And listening to the content creators inside of Bills Mafia hobbyism, which this is a hobby for both of us, week-to-week league, those guys get paid over there too. Like, all of these fun catchphrases when the Bills were struggling. Just
sounded like a slight.
Hang on a second. It's about to be. All of these catchphrases. Gabe Davis is a number two. Ken Dorsey is not the problem. All of this little bit of smoke that was coming out of all of former players, content creators that are not named Joe Miller that are based on emotionalism. Early on when the Bills were struggling, that was like, don't anybody worry. Like, it's not a problem because those guys like Joe Miller don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't care about the eye test. It's about statistics, and it's about those guys get paid, and it's about this, and it's about that, and it's not the coaching, it's execution, and yada, yada.
Pump the brakes. Did I ever shut you down on one of your concerns? I don't think I ever did.
It's not so much. Let me finish, and now we're at 5-4, nobody's saying it's a week-to-week league anymore, and nobody's saying that it's about execution anymore, and nobody's saying that now all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, we got a problem. Like, if the Bills lose to the Broncos tomorrow night, the playoffs are a pipe dream.
No, it's over. Yeah. So let's talk about this game.
Yep.
You're going to love my next comment.
I love it. Hit me with your best shot, Pat Benatar, 1983.
wonder if she and Joe Jackson ever met.
No, she was married to her lead guitar player, who was wildly underrated. He was a phenomenal lead guitar player.
Hmm. That's a weird way to say wildly underrated. Like, were there people like running amok saying this guy's not great?
Everybody from the early 80s is like, Eddie Van Halen is the guy because he invented finger tapping. Meanwhile, Brian May from Queen was finger tapping in the late 70s.
I'll tell you, I met Eddie Van Halen at a Jim Kelly
golf. That is not true. That is true?
I actually was in a golf cart with him for, I think I only lasted 16 holes because that guy at 5'3" drank more alcohol in a 3-hour span that I could do in 30 hours.
Mind blown. My mind is blown.
I haven't told you about Eddie Van Halen's story?
Never. This is amazing.
Wow.
This is amazing.
Holy cow.
So now you've got two stories to tell me.
Yeah. I can't even remember the other one.
You're going to give me your Denver Broncos prediction.
Yeah, well, we're going to win this game, but you're not going to like what I'm going to have to say. And you got Micah Hyde down, right? Micah Hyde's out.
And Christian Benford. And I think Terrell Bernard is still,
He's going to play.
He's going to play, okay.
He's going to play. You're not going to like what I'm going to have to say because I think they're going to have to control the ball a little bit. We're going to have to keep the defense off the field a little bit. Denver has weapons.
Yes. Now,
they don't throw to their tight ends a lot, but they throw to their wide receivers, and they got good wide receivers. Russell Wilson is running the ball particularly well right now, and our front four need to track him very well, right? But we need – I'd love, you know, every time three plays and a touchdown, but in this game, I think we need – 7 plays and a touchdown. And whether you want – we got to balance between muddle huddle and no huddle. We have to have a little bit of up-tempo, but be judicious occasionally, slow it down when the time is right. I know you don't like it, but we're hurting a little bit on defense. And you know that they're thinking about that at One Bills Drive.
If you're hurting on defense, why wouldn't you go out there with the only objective other than to score 50 freaking points?
Because it's the same thing that you brought up last week, the concern that you run 3 plays and you're punting in 41 seconds. And you're
But when they're trying to score 50 points, they never run 3 points and punt or 3 plays and punt. It never happens.
I'm just telling you, 4-minute drives for a touchdown, not trying to squeak it in a minute and a half and then punting.
I tweeted that I need the Buffalo Bills to win.
It's X-ing. You X-ed.
I X-ed. The Buffalo Bills need to win this football game because I'm exhausted. I have no more snarky creative comments. I'm literally at the point where I have no more snarky creative comments. The Bills got to win so that I can like say something positive about this freaking football team.
Do you not have a ChatGPT account?
I don't. And then Chris Jahnke, the real Chris Jahnke, the encyclopedia, comes out and says, I think the Buffalo Bills win this game in the final seconds by 4 points, and it's like a trudge. Like it's like there's no moment in this game where we're like comfortable. And I'm like, if that happens, I'm in the same boat. I've got nothing to go on this week.
You should start reading more. I mean, go back to the classics. Have you ever read anything by Cormac McCarthy? You know, he just died. And he's got an incredible compendium of work. You should dig into that. Look, I'm with you, man. I mean, this team, I mean, from the last game last season to today, you know, it is just, I don't want to say stomach turning is not the expression I'm looking for, but it's like in between exhilaration and nausea in the feelings that you have. And whatever you want to X out there. And that's why I've just been, as far as Bill's content goes, I just haven't been contributing because I'm like you, I'm paralyzed. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. And I'm totally conflicted. I love my team. I want to be Mr. Optimistic, Captain Optimistic, if you will.
Captain Optimistic.
Captain Optimistic.
So
it's just challenging. I'm sort of flummoxed. Are there two X's in flummox?
Here's the problem. You said I need to read more. And I've often contemplated ending my podcasting whatever.
Forever?
And going to just reading. So we walked along the beach and climbed across rock pools. I hurtled over small crashing waves. My brother and I loved doing this as a fun game. Then we would climb up the same cliff every day. The whole family would get to the top and look out into the horizon. I could see the shades of blue that stretched longer than the eye can see. Most days, we got off to the top of the cliff. I would dream about the free life that lay beyond me.
That's beautiful.
I have a future.
That's beautiful. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality.
Listen to the smoothing sound, the soothing sounds of, was it K-Jazz? What was it from Airheads? The soothing sounds of the rain. Do you remember? You watched that movie, right? Airheads?
Welcome to WPR Tucson Public Radio. I'm your host, John Fina. We'll be taking you through the midnight hour with some really nice music from Beethoven's.
Amazing. Amazing. This has been amazing. This is the best show we've ever. This is like Emmy worthy. This show.
But everybody in the comments is vomiting.
No, they're not. They're totally tuned in.
They're word vomiting. I can see it.
They're totally tuned in. Like, they're absolutely loving this. So
every time I'm on with you, I'm more vexed than the last time I thought about the Buffalo Bills. Thank God I've been sick for 2.5 days because I haven't been able to give it that much thought.
This stuff is my fault. So this is a good topic before we finish up on the Denver Broncos. Yeah. Sal asks, John, please answer. Does anything good happen for coaches with a players only meeting? And I will preface it with this. Many national media guys have come out this week and said, basically what happens after a players only meeting is the head coach gets fired.
Did they have one? Did I miss something?
The head coach? Yeah, the John McDermott's head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
No. Did they have a players-only meeting?
Yes, they had a players-only offensive staff or offensive players-only meeting. And, like, it's very much getting panned because history says that after that happens, somebody takes a walk.
Yeah. Well, I've been through a couple of players-only meetings.
This is the moment that you need to tell us as fans what happens in those meetings, because none of us know.
You know, there's a little bit of ambiguous finger pointing, right? We talk about things that we all have to get better at, but it's a way of kind of glancing around the room and saying, you need to get better, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't see that, you know, ending in the firing of McDermott, frankly.
Now, I agree.
I don't think it ends.
Dorsey?
You want a gruesome prediction here. I don't know that Dorsey makes it through, for the next season.
I don't think there's any way he does. If anything, he's a scapegoat or a fall guy. I don't believe that Sean McDermott is. I don't believe that Sean McDermott is Wade Phillips, where Wade Phillips got fired because he wouldn't fire. Was it Crossman?
I agree.
It was Danny Crossman, wasn't it? Wasn't it Danny Crossman? He would not fire his special team coordinator.
No, it was Bruce DeHaven.
Oh, was it DeHaven? Yeah, and Wade was like, "I'm not doing that," and then he got fired for that. I think Sean cuts him loose.
Yeah, if you knew Wade Phillips, then you would believe that for sure. He was not going to, the game is much bigger, or the world is much bigger than the game.
Right.
And Wade Phillips, wonderful man.
Yes. Even though he blocked me on Twitter. Yes.
He blocked you?
He blocked me on Twitter for saying something positive about him. I replied to one of his tweets and said something positive about him, and he blocked me. I was like, what the hell, old man?
I was totally kidding. I told him to block you. I was totally, like, tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah? You told him to block me? That's funny.
No. Maybe he doesn't run his own Twitter feed.
So, anyway,
maybe he doesn't like sycophants.
Players-only meetings. To me, players-only meetings are different when Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly are in the room versus whoever is. Latavius Murray called this meeting.
Oh, I think that's a good thing then. No, this is not going to end in somebody getting fired. Well, you got a savvy old veteran, coming together, talking about stories and, individual responsibility and what it's like being long in the tooth in the league and, what it means to him. That's more of a rah-rah meeting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that it works, but I think those things are not a bad, you know, bad meeting to have. Mm-hmm. When you can come together, point fingers a little bit, but more or less get the guys excited. You know, look, there's talent here. We all have to consider every play. And I know it sounds so silly to you and the people listening, but it's not that you think you can have a crappy play, but if you have a crappy play, everybody in their mind justifies it a little bit, like nobody's perfect, right? Everybody has a bad play.
Right.
But you have to maintain this like completely unattainable fever pitch where every play has to be perfect. And you have to be so, you're like vibrating with anxiety before every play, every outing,
because
you want to be perfect. You want to deliver the perfect product every time. And a meeting like this brings you back to that. Like if you're feeling disheartened, you can raise yourself back up to this level where you're saying, I have to reinvigorate and reachieve this level of expectation for myself, because my teammates have it, my coaches have it, my family has it, my fans have it. And those meetings are not a bad thing. So
I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay. I put you on the spot just for, and not in a negative way, but last week you said what needs to happen is Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Mitch Morse, and Deion Dawkins need to go into Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, and Ken Dorsey and be like, what the F? Like, yeah. make this make sense.
But that's a separate.
Right. Separate but that didn't happen. So if that's not happening, which is effectively.
Well, we would never find out that happened.
Fair. But. Let's assume that it didn't happen. Let's assume that Sean McDermott keeps chirping, parroting complimentary football, which is effectively saying we're putting them in position to win, but they're not doing their part of the job. Let's assume that the players did not get a chance to go in and be like, this isn't working, and we need to understand what it is you're trying to get from us because it's not working. That didn't happen. So we're just going to assume that didn't happen, even though it may have happened and we weren't privy to it. What could possibly come of Latavius Murray saying we need to execute something we can't execute better? And everybody going, it's true. We need to execute something that we can't execute better.
Oh, see, I think you're getting kind of lost in the concepts and not being reminded of the individual mistakes that are happening. So there are individual mistakes that are happening in this game. So
for sure. For sure. But 3.5 years, there's been a lot of that.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You and I have been doing this for 3.5 years, and there has been a lot of that.
Look, there's nothing wrong with having this meeting. And I think Latavius Murray, with the, you know, the tenure that he has in the league, he can lend some excitement, you know, lend a little perspective to some of the younger guys, right? Yep, everybody, yep. You know, it's the everybody needs to step up speech. It's the everybody needs to, you know, deliver for your teammate, your family, your coaching staff, your fans, right? And ultimately make the playoffs by hook or by crook and go deep. And, you know, a lot of these speeches are, you know, I've been on these teams where you have this moment and you transcend the moment and you pick up steam and good things start happening. But, you know, you have to have the belief and the will to make good things happen. And luck happens to people. The harder I work, Joe, the luckier I seem to get.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird how that happens.
It's weird how that happens.
So I don't
really make anything of this.
What have you seen come out of players only meetings? That's probably the most important question we as fans, because that's what we are. We are not former players like you. We as fans would ask, what should I expect to see tomorrow against the Broncos?
Well, you know, I mean, you're gonna see the same game plan. But what you're hoping is the execution is a little bit better, right? So
this is the part that gets me because.
But I don't know what you think should happen. Like you're supposed to see like a 16-0 team step on.
No, for sure. Absolutely not. But there's this grandiose. So as much as every coach, media player or media personality, real media personality, and former player says that. What do you expect? 16-0, we never lose, and the other team never scores a point. There's also this, as much as that's a fair thing that you guys always say, you also always say, which is equally ambiguous, which is, well, they didn't execute. They didn't execute.
No, this meeting is a call for execution.
Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
And what gets lost in that conversation, which is the reason that I started my podcast in 2019, was there were content creators out there saying, well, the Bills just didn't execute. The Bills just didn't execute. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills and Brian Daboll at that time had Pat DeMarco, a fullback, running go routes with a 7-inch vertical trying to catch jump balls on contested catches. And it's like, well, he didn't execute. That mother trucker can't execute that play. And that's what it comes down to. So there's an aspect of like, well, they didn't execute. Can they? Can they execute this run game?
You're like the most tangential, thoughtful person that I know after the other 10 people. But I don't love the philosophy, but I think that it's not horrible. Right. I think you got to have the right people on the field at the right time, and you can control those types of things. And I don't think that in the last game they did a very good job controlling that. But overall, it's not a bad philosophy. I think it's mediocre.
To be fair to you. Right. And to put this in terms from a fan standpoint, you and I sat here for the better part of 2 years and talked about the Bills not executing in the run game as we watched Zach Moss run into the back of his offensive lineman over and over and over again. Fair?
No.
That is exactly what we talked about. Many missed blocks, blah, 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 blah. And then he would run. Regardless of where the hole was.
I don't think either of us ever thought Zach Moss was a feature back.
Well, hang on a second. That's where I'm going with this. So if the hole was to the right, he would run to the left. If the hole was seemingly to the left, he would run to the right. Meanwhile, he goes to Indianapolis, and the dude is lighting it up. So where is the execution? Did he not execute properly, or did they try to get him to execute something he can't execute?
I think that schematically, guys find where they belong. Or they don't, and then they don't end up playing well. But I mean, James Cook is thriving in this offense, and I don't think there's a huge change in the running game.
100%.
So
he can execute what they want him to execute, right?
Yeah, I mean that's a possibility. You look at the end of the season, you're like, okay, we're four positions away, or we're six positions away, right? Or we're using this guy in the wrong way. Devin Singletary had a game today. He had 30 touches.
Devin Singletary had a game today.
30 touches. He didn't have 30 touches in four games when he was a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that.
But he was a much better option for us than Zach Moss. As much as I loved him in college, although I hated Utah.
always comes back to college.
You know.
All right, let's wrap this up. You're
disconnected from college because you never go to a UB or Buff State game. Next time I come in the fall, you and I are going to either go to a UB or Buff State game.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Dude, I will pay for your flight to come hang out with me. We still got to come down and see you and the wife. Me and my wife need to come down and hang out with you and your wife. Like, that still has not happened.
We have an open tent policy.
I know. Yes, I'll bring my own tent. You're like covering your mouth because you're smiling so big. Let's wrap this up. So we've got about a minute and a half before the show's over.
So we agree that they're going to beat the Denver Broncos. You were asking me if some wild offensive team meeting is going to mean something. And my answer is yes, it will. Will it be entirely perceptible by play-by-play in the game tomorrow? No. I think, I think Spencer Brown has disappeared as an emotional leader of the offensive line. He needs to come back. I think we need a little bit more emotion on this team. And it's lacking on the defensive side of the ball, although they've been playing well. I want to see more celebratory moments. And I think we beat the Denver Broncos. We finish out 6-2. You say 7-1.
7-1 is what I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but there's, I think we both have a shadow of doubt as to whether or not the Bills can accomplish even 6-2.
Yeah.
Because of what we watched. So for me, this football game, the Denver Broncos game specifically, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, we're going to be missing Christian Benford. We're going to be missing Micah Hyde. So Taylor Rapp is going to play. You got to expect DeMar Hamlin to be active, but it's going to be Rapp and more than likely Jordan Poyer, obviously, as the safeties. Dane Jackson, Rasul Douglas are going to be the corners, which, frankly, Rasul Douglas is better than Christian Benford, right? I mean, the Bills made a trade for this guy. I think the Bills can win this football game. Javonte Williams, their running back, doesn't scare me as much.
No, but their defense, you know, they got three pass rushers that are young. Yes. And, yes. You know, between Cooper, Allen, and I'm blanking on his name. I want to say Nabokov, but that's the author of the book that.
So can the Bills block them up? And you got to hope that they're going to be able to block them up. I think the Buffalo Bills win this game. Now, score prediction. What do you have for a score prediction?
One more than them.
One. You're like, you were the guy that's got me sitting on the couch, sweating, hating life.
I don't care what the score is, as long as we have one more than they do in the end. But if you want to pin me down to this, I think it's going to be, 31-14 Buffalo Bills.
That's not 1 point. That's a lot.
I know.
I like that. I would go with that. I think that Russell Wilson can be forced into some bad mistakes.
That's right.
The biggest concern I have going into this game, even before like leading into this show, you know, Sean Payton is a good football coach. And as much as I like Sean McDermott, and I do, I feel like the coaching teeter-totter is weighted in his favor. Fair? Unfair?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that really only comes from the head coaching level. That really only comes into play when the game is tight, in my opinion. Agreed. You know, unless, just depends on how much you have to do with the planning of the game, right? So.
Right. Awesome. Well, you've got, would you say 30 what to 3? Or 30 what to 14? 31 to 14?
Yeah, I went 31-14 because I'm an optimist.
I don't feel like the Buffalo Bills are going to find themselves that well. So I'm going to be more in the 27-21 range, 27-17, right? So I don't think the Bills necessarily find themselves scoring 30 points, but they might. But I do have the Bills winning this football game as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Off Tackle with John Fina show, brought to you by Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. That's John Fina. John, any final words before I get us out of here?
I honestly thought this was going to be a very short podcast, but
so
you took me down the rabbit hole, Joe Miller, and I'm angry and a little regretful. But in the long run, you know me, Joe. You know what I say. Go Bills.
It is absolutely go Bills. But the hard part about this is the fact that I was like, we're going to be out of here in 30 minutes. And then I get to talking with you and I love our conversations. And like for me to be a fan, I feel like I represent all the fans and we want to know what the player's perspective is. And you have a wildly unique perspective that isn't being given to anybody else on any from other than Jerry. Both on Buffalo Rumblings, you guys are the only two providing that perspective. It's amazing. And thank you. I don't know that I've said that enough. Thank you. Like, to you and Jerry both, thank you for the perspective.
You know, it's just fun, Joe. And, you know, you bring out the worst in me, the best in me. And I have a good time. You know, I make it up as I go while I'm like searching deep into my gray matter for what I actually think, you know, and you're conflicted. Like you always say like, oh, you guys say this, you say that, you say this. And all of it's true, but it's not always true at the same time. Right. Different feelings for different circumstances. And it's just like being a player. You're up here. And in the next week, you're lower than whale. And the peaks and valleys to this thing is like life. You know, I think everybody wants to be a fan of the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins or the San Diego Chargers, and you want some sort of consistency. You want something in your life to be, you know, just rock solid.
Yes.
But you're looking at the wrong damn thing because it's the same as it is for me as a player as it is for you as a fan. And, you know, you just got to, like, take a deep breath and find your chi and do whatever symbol you learn from your, you know, whatever yoga instructor you got is downward dog.
Walk like an Egyptian.
You just got to have another bourbon is the only solution. If you don't drink, then, you know, maybe it's the magic herb. But I don't know, man. It's a wild ride, and I'm trying to make sense of it just like you. And I can't believe you roped me into another 3 minutes of this show.
You did this. You monologued yourself.
Monologuing.
For John Fina, for all of Buffalo Rumblings, this has been a fun show, John. Thank you. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.